College holds a mythic place in American culture. But there are stories you won't hear on the campus tours.
The higher-ups are concerned about one thing, and that is avoiding scandal.
I'm Margot Gray. On the new podcast, Campus Files, we cover everything from rigged admissions to the drama of Greek life and student protests. Listen to and follow Campus Files, an Odyssey original podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Here we go, Hour 4, GBAC Nation 105.3. The Fan, it's a big day for the Nosebleed guys. They're about to head on out of here and get on up to UNT, where they are the guest of honor, so to speak, talking to the broadcast units up there about what it takes, you know, to make it to the big time like both of you boys have so triumphantly done, right? So congrats to you guys for that. That's really cool.
Thank you.
Excited, man.
I'm leaking confidence because as soon as I walked in, Broadus was like, really? That's what you're wearing to go speak to the students? I'm like, yeah, I'm dressed for the job that I got, dude. That's part of the selling point going in there. Like, guys, yeah. Look at me.
Yes.
You could literally look like this and go to work.
This
you
is your goal.
This too.
You can be at the height of comfort while you're working. Why wouldn't you want to do that? That's a huge selling point.
I thought you classed it up there. You got a collar on that flannel.
Thank you.
Yes. Yeah, there is one.
Nice. And I got my Nutcracker. Let's get this party cracking Christmas sweater on.
So I festive.
Mean, come on.
On January 21st, I love it. I think it's a hell of a one.
This is a selling point. So I'm not going to let Broadus allow all the confidence to leak out of me.
Well, speaking of selling points, we have an edition of Football's Finest. Take it away. Tell us all about it.
Well, as the Cowboys are getting set for the shoddiest hire in NFL history, let's take a look at what the Lions got going on. They're losing pieces. Of course, they lose Ben Johnson. And I saw a headline that was quite the attention grabber. Ben Johnson is the first Lions coordinator to leave for a head coach job since. And Broadus has been spinning his wheels all break long, trying to win football guy of the day for the first time in 26 days. And he's efforting, he's Googling, he's throwing names at the wall. He actually had something that was educational for me by way of a guess. Yeah. I didn't know Bill Belichick got his NFL coaching start.
Well, he was Baltimore, Detroit, Denver, Giants. And then that's how it all.
I don't think I knew Baltimore, Detroit, or Denver in the resume of Bill Belichick.
He was at one time, he was an assistant special teams coach, and then at Detroit, I think he actually coached wide receivers at Detroit. Like
well-rounded.
In the 76 campaign, yeah. So he's been around a little bit.
Well, the headline reads, Ben Johnson, first Lions coordinator to leave for head coach jobs since JFK was president. That's where we start.
Okay, so it's 1963, right? Or it's 1960.
I mean, who the heck was even on their staff? I have no idea.
The hire took place on January 9th of 1963.
Is this like an all-time great coach?
Yes.
Oh, man.
Okay. I'm only guessing this because of you. Did he coach the Dolphins?
Oh, is it Don Shula?
Is it Shula?
Big Don Shula, Zach Wolchuk for the win. Back-to-back days.
Did he
football cow. Guy of the day.
That's
now it'll be 26 days in counting since Broadus last won.
Oh, that is unbelievable. I never even knew he was on the Lions staff.
I didn't either. Yeah. Sure. I don't know much about coaching staffs from the 60s. That's what I thought was going to be Broadus' wheelhouse.
He was on George Wilson's staff there with the Lions. So that's
the last time they've been good enough.
What was the year?
63.
Jeez.
Yeah. The same year that Broadus was born.
That's exactly right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly right.
That and my respective crazy. Parents.
That is a hell of a stat.
Big year.
That's a nugget right
Congratulations
there.
To Ben Johnson. Well, how about this? They're about to have two.
Yeah, true that. Aaron Glenn
is about to be in the Big Apple with the Jets. It seems like that's a foregone conclusion. They don't want to get him out of the building. So in one offseason, they get two hires from their staff that they haven't seen since Don Shula in 1963. If that doesn't speak to Lions disaster, then I don't really know what does. By the way, you're going to have a lot of people that are already speculating that Ben Johnson is going to take with him offensive line coach and run game coordinator for the Lions, Hank Fraley. Mm. And that is that's a guy who is one of the big brains behind what has gone down with this Lions offense. So Dan Campbell, Lions, they're going to be regrouping in a big way, because if they're going to lose Ben Johnson and Hank Fraley, they're going to lose Aaron Glenn. Who else from the defense is Aaron Glenn going to want to take with them and promote on the staff with the Jets or wherever he ends up? Plus, you have the Patriots apparently reportedly targeting Lions defensive line coach Terrell Williams to be their new DC under Mike Vrabel. So the Lions just getting sort of destroyed by success here a little bit, but that's just the nature of the beast. It's tough to be great for a long time because everybody wants to steal from you. How good is Man Campbell at recycling the coaching staff?
Man, I feel like if he put this coaching staff together, I would favor his chances more than a lot of teams. You know, finding the right kind of guys, you know, wouldn't you? I mean, to know that we got to pick somebody off the McVay coaching tree, and then, you know, we need to find a defensive guy with all the bona fides, you know, I would say my trust is significantly higher in him than the Cowboys coaching search.
For sure.
This is
old man Campbell actually wants to win and stuff.
Yeah. And looking at their roster and their cap situation, I think they have top 10 cap space available. They're two offensive linemen that are free agents, Zeitler and Skipper, you know, not dominant guys, not the guys that are paving the great holes. I think they're cogs in the wheel. So, and then the other thing is, if you're around great coaches like the Cowboys in the early to mid-90s, there's a carryover, you know, where the culture's been built. We know how to execute these plays. We need somebody to come in here who has basically the same schematic ideas and isn't going to try to, you know, bully or change the culture. We're good. We know it. Let's stick with what we got. So, you know, finding a guy to pick that up, you know, might not be impossible.
How about Mike Vrabel recycling Josh McDaniels once again? As Jordan Schultz has reported in the last hour that the Patriots are going to be hiring now for the third time to be their offensive coordinator, Mr. Josh McDaniels. I've never seen that before.
Three
different stints as a play caller for one franchise. That's pretty rare.
Yeah, very rare. I don't know, Brian. Maybe there's an example of that. I think that's the role he's got to be in, though. You know, because Vrabel's going to set the tone. Vrabel's going to build the culture. As long as it's not McDaniels with his eccentricities and his anxiety, you know, making people nervous around him, I think you can, you know, harvest some gold out of there offensively with Josh McDaniels.
Yeah, I mean, I don't. If I was a Patriots fan, I'd be a little bit bummed. It's not the end of the world, but you would have liked to have seen Vrabel do something a little bit more cutting edge, forward thinking. Go get somebody that is, you know, not a guy who was having his best years with Tom Brady and you know, a decade ago.
I mean, the thing that I like is he and Belichick wanted a running quarterback so bad, and now he's got it. It'll be interesting to see how much different that playbook looks like than what he was calling for Tom.
Saints running back Alvin Kamara tweeted out, my vote for head coach rhyme with fizzy. You know what that means?
Darren Rizzi.
Wants the interim guy. Yeah. He wants the comfort of the guy that's been there, fiery. It actually seems like Ben Johnson is doing whatever he can to get Darren Rizzi as his special teams coach. So if Rizzi doesn't end up getting the head coach job with the Saints, which I don't believe he is going to, then perhaps we'll see Rizzi in Chicago. Now, I do want to play you this sound as, of course, we're filled with envy with what the Eagles got going on, but we can also laugh at them a little bit. And let's do so by going to a community event where the Philadelphia mayor, Sherelle Parker, was cranking out a good old-fashioned playoff postseason NFC championship Eagles chant. And, you know, she was just one measly letter off. Like, come on.
Let me hear you all say, E-L-E-S-E-S, Eagles!
Yeah.
Let's go, Birds!
Let's go, Birds. Okay, maybe she was two letters off, but that's fine. E-L-G-S-E-S, Eagles! That's awesome. That falls flat,
that's a shame.
Eagles fans are probably...
They were trying to go with her until she
turn off the mentions if you're hurt. They're not going to appreciate that. No. I mean, it's I get having a... I'm not the best speller in the world.
You know what's funny about that is I heard she won. She actually did the best amongst thousands of Eagles fans.
She was the closest to nailing it.
She was the only one that wasn't eating poo.
You would just think, though, that's sort of like second nature. You're not even thinking about it. You're not even trying to like spell it out, really. You're just sing-songing what you've been saying since birth as a Filthy fan.
Yeah. Yeah, unfortunately. If we get there to New Orleans, you're going to hear that a lot.
Nope, nope.
It'll be etched into your brain permanently, Wolchuk.
E-S.
We're going to get Commanders and Bills or Chiefs.
I mean, that's not nearly as bad as the Fly Eagles Fly.
Oh, that's just disgusting.
The Philadelphia Bulldog duo is dominating, though, this postseason. Jalen Carter, 12 pressures, tied for first in the postseason. He's been a monster, and he's been like an Iron Man with how many snaps he's played. He's not coming off the field. That's a tough thing to do as a defensive lineman. And then Nolan Smith, the edge that the Cowboys
played
could
a lot
have had.
Better, yeah.
You said
they could have had him.
Could have had Nolan Smith, mm-hmm. but you saw Mozzie Smith, and you just couldn't get away from the idea of Mozzie Smith being pushed 10 yards down the field on first and 10. Nolan Smith, 11 pressures, tied for third in the postseason.
Oh my
so
goodness.
Both of those guys are both really getting super, super hot right now. Watch out, Jaden Daniels. Actually, watch out, Filthy, with Jaden Daniels, because he's out of his mind. You had Stink just give you a sort of a general numbers deal on just how much heavy lifting that Jaden Daniels is having to do. Anytime you see a rookie quarterback starting in a title game, you can usually point to not only a great rushing attack, but most certainly a great defense that's doing a ton of the heavy lifting for them. The one that stands out to me always is the Ben Roethlisberger rookie year. Mm-hmm. Steelers yeah. win a bunch of games, but it's the steel curtain. It's just go out there and score 13 to 17 points, Ben. Bus drive this thing, hand it to, you know, bus ride this thing with Jerome and Willie Parker, and we'll go ahead and win 17 to 13 or something. But when you look at what Jaden Daniels is doing, 18th is the ranking for the Commanders scoring defense this year. 18th. When Purdy was doing it last year as a rookie, his defense was first in scoring. Mark Sanchez years ago, his defense was third in scoring. Joe Flacco's defense was third in scoring. Ben Roethlisberger's was first. Sean King in 2000 with the Bucs, his defense was third.
Yeah.
So Jaden Daniels is definitely an outlier, and I loved this stat from Doug Kloss, and Jaden Daniels has more wins in the postseason than negative plays.
Wow.
Meaning sacks, fumbles, or interceptions.
You know, and I feel like that's why it's coming to an end as much as we'll be pulling, I think for Jaden Daniels to get the job done this weekend. I just don't see Philadelphia, you know, coming up short here. And, you know, on another note, that was the secret sauce for Tom Brady is, you know, so many times to start a season, New England's defense would appear to be vulnerable. Belichick would figure out a way to get it performing like a top five unit by the time they were heading into the playoffs. You know, and obviously the money that he didn't take on a lot of his contracts because he had the Giselle advantage with the billionaire supermodel wife that allowed him to take less. But they never won a championship, I think, without a top five defense in New England. And, you know, obviously Tom and Belichick get a lot of the credit, but it was Bill's ability to make a defense on the fly, almost like he was building a bullpen in baseball throughout the season.
Yeah, their first three was very defensive driven. You know, with guys like, Ty Law, the pick six against the Rams, Brewski, Richard Seymour, Mike Vrabel. Yeah, I mean, their defenses were absolutely nasty. Asante Samuel.
Lawyer Malloy.
Yeah, Lawyer Rodney. Malloy. Rob, no doubt. And then the second three, it was, okay, now we're going to spread it out. We got Edelman. We got Gronk. We're going to throw the ball around. Rex Burkhead, of course.
What do you think is happening to Wolchuk's voice right now? Because I actually really like the way it sounds.
Thank you.
It's there's like some
get ready. You might have to be like talking to these students. He might be out. He might be like, he got hurt in pregame warmups.
His voice is going to peter out at the start.
He might not be able to talk.
I've lost myself.
You might be the lone guy up there.
Sounds like he was smoking Pall Mall unfiltered there at the break.
Yeah,
I'm going for full Ben Affleck.
You gave up that habit months ago.
No, not anymore. Thanks to this news.
I think it's, you know, that virus I had last week or whatever it was, it felt like I had sand in my throat for about 8 days.
It's getting a little grainy.
Well, we're going to be off on the wrong foot when we show up there, probably a couple minutes after the bell rings for class to start. I believe that's what's going to happen. But I did want to point out to you a common theme between the final four teams right now in the NFL. They all have a fourth down conversion rate above 70%.
Mm.
The
Commanders are the best ones, aren't they?
The Commanders by a large margin are the best. They convert fourth downs 87%.
Yeah, they missed two of them, I believe.
The Bills are second at 73%. So the Commanders are like historical here, but the Bills 2, Chiefs 3, Eagles 4, all in the NFL, top 4 when it comes to converting on fourth
downs.
That's
a good nugget right there.
It was incredible to watch that this weekend. Thank you, guys. Have a great time up there at UNT. But watching Jaden Daniels getting all those fourth down situations in the division round, I'm like, okay, this is where the run ends, right? We're looking at sample size, but they just kept on doing it, and I don't know if that's sustainable into the future. I doubt that's going to be his career number for fourth down completions, but there's no doubt he is hot and they're making it work. It's time to hit the expressway. We'll go commercial free to the top. LA Live's coming up here at about 5:40, and we're back with the very latest on the Cowboys coaching search coming up next here in the nation. Yeah, buddy, welcome back. It is the G-Back Nation here on the Fan. Time now to hit the expressway. It's brought to you by Cars for Kids. Donate today, carsforkids.org. And the expressway itself is brought to you by the on-time experts. LA Live with Lucius Alexander coming up here at about 5:40. And if you ever miss the G-Bag of the Day, which he does every afternoon at 2:30, he replays the champ for you, and we have a bunch of fun there. 5:40 to the top of the hour every evening here in the G-Bag Nation. Okay, we've been tracking this Cowboy storyline. In the morning, the report came that Brian Schottenheimer was going to get an interview.
Mm-hmm.
David Moore confirmed an hour or so ago that the interview is currently ongoing there. Brian Schottenheimer, the offensive coordinator under Mike McCarthy, getting an interview as a head coaching candidate. Sean Sharif tweeted before we went on the air today, hearing an offer could be coming soon for Schottenheimer. Mm-hmm. So maybe this is like their McCarthy interview. We're going into it. They're expecting that, you know, maybe this could be the conclusion of their search. Brian, what you hearing, what you thinking?
Yeah, it just, you know, a lot of really good reports as far as folks, you know, trying to kind of figure things out. And, you know, there was some whispers that I'd heard that the interview was supposed to happen at 11, and then, you know, it's been pushed back, and now it's being conducted. You know, we'll see how it all plays out as far as, you know, could we have an answer tonight? Likelihood probably tomorrow. I'm going to see with Jimmy Sexton, who's the agent, see if he can, hammer out a deal with Jerry and Steven. I'm sure that if Schottenheimer's offered the job, he'll probably accept it, but maybe he wants to talk to his wife and family members about it and, you know, see what they think they need to do. But all indications are that they're talking about it. But I don't know. We'll see tonight. Maybe one of our national reporters, like maybe a Jane Slater, somebody like that, will have that they've agreed to terms. But I think that we're just kind of in the process right now. And say there's a lot of waiting around today for Schottenheimer. Now he's finally in. Getting this thing done.
At 877-881-1053, if you'd like to text in your thoughts, leave your name and city you're texting from. We'll make you famous. The 469 says pathetic, says this is going to turn more fans off, and I'm here for it. You know, I thought Kellen Moore would have been the absolute worst hire as far as fan morale, fan sentiment. I don't know where Brian Schottenheimer sits in there. I think he might just be an unknown enough that a lot of the casual fans, you know, might just be okay with it and hope for the best.
I'll say that fans that are fans of Dak Prescott.
Yeah.
Okay. If you hate this hire, then you hate Dak Prescott.
Really?
And I say it because I feel like this hire is made with Dak Prescott in mind.
They want to keep him comfortable?
They want to keep him comfortable.
They did have a top five offense 3 years in a row this situation.
Now I can understand fans, non-fans of Dak Prescott being, oh gosh, what are we doing here?
Mm-hmm.
But if you really, really are a fan of Dak Prescott and wanted and feel like that they need to do every single thing to help him, they've determined that this is probably the best hire to help Dak Prescott and to help CeeDee Lamb. And there's enough support. There's, you know, Kellen Moore standing up in front of a team and talking, I don't think does anything for your team. I just don't. I think the thing with Brian Schottenheimer, what he does is he has support, as we'd say, politically on both sides of the aisle when you start to talk about defense and the offense together. You know, Schottenheimer initially got his start working with the defensive guys here.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of these guys know Shoddy.
Has a high likability factor.
Very high likability factor, because if you've ever watched him work on the sidelines, he stays totally away from Mike McCarthy. Hmm. Like he's at one end of the field, and Mike's calling plays up on the other end. So you could kind of, it's not like they're standing there just like he's in his ear, but every time there's a play or a big gain or something, Shoddy's over there on the sidelines, you know, picking guys up, patting them. You know, he's got that kind of personality. His old man was tough. Mm-hmm. His old man was a, you talk about run the football in the playoffs and
yeah.
LaDainian Tomlinson. And unfortunately, a couple of AFC championship games against Denver that didn't work out because of fumbles and a drive and all that stuff. But he is a very well-liked guy in that building. And he's probably more well-liked than what Kellen Moore could bring. You know, maybe, you know, Kellen Moore is probably doesn't have the charisma, the personality, the you know, the just the putting it out there kind of thing like Shoddy has. But to me, this is all about Dak Prescott is what this is about. And that's why I think they're talking to him right now, potentially to hire him.
Well, you know, I think it's a good idea to you know, to keep your quarterback comfortable, to keep him doing things that, yeah. that he does well. Mm-hmm. And you were, you know, producing a lot in the regular season. I think maybe those stats are a little bit skewed by the quality of competition that you faced. And ultimately, if it's not good enough to get the job done in the postseason, I would be looking for something different. Mm-hmm. But if you could get back to a top five offense with Brian Schottenheimer, mm-hmm. you know, and the defense trending the way it is, you know, at least getting back to being a playoff team, you know, I think could be in the cards. If you have a good draft, if you go improve your offensive line, you get a wide receiver, you get a running back, you know, as we see with Washington right now, things can turn around pretty quick at 877-881-1053. 9-4-0 says, I was born in 95. I'll never see the Cowboys win as long as Jerry is alive. Wow.
You've seen him win. You just haven't seen him win championships.
Yeah.
That's the thing. I mean, and I understand what they're saying there. I will say this, though, too. I think that if a guy like Matt Eberflus is offered the opportunity to come back and be the defensive coordinator on a Schottenheimer-led staff, I think that's a real possibility.
Did a great job as linebackers coach for the Cowboys, and then yeah. Colts defensive coordinator did a hell of a job.
Yeah, I think the familiarity there, I think that he would welcome the opportunity. Shoddy, I mean, he might have some other opportunities. Eberflus might have some other opportunities, but, you know, we'll see. If, yeah. in fact, that, you know, maybe Brian Schottenheimer's given us some thought that, like, okay, you know, and maybe he goes in there, like, if I'm Jerry and Steven, I'm asking him, like, okay, you were on staff, tell me the things you thought that we were absolutely terrible at. And so, you know, now you rehash. Like, Mike McCarthy went in there and had discussion with Jerry, and they went back and forth. So now Jerry has that, armed with that, he could ask Schottenheimer, like, okay, listen, when Mike and I talked, we had this was an issue with us. Where do you stand on this? Where do you stand on that? And, you know, Jerry could get a little bit, you know, they could kind of talk some things out, but maybe Jerry can also, they could also talk about potential hires.
Yeah.
And that's where I think that, to me, that's where Shoddy has got to, and maybe 51, 52-year-old ideas, you know, maybe he's got some guys around the league that he's young guys and stuff, or established coaches that would like to be on a staff with him.
I love that talking point, because there's an article out today, you know, what the Cowboys should have learned from the divisional round. And yeah. I think it applies to maybe what Schottenheimer would do different than McCarthy.
Yeah.
I think just overall, my general reaction to Schottenheimer maybe getting a job offer to be the head coach is, these days you need an amazing coaching staff and an amazing quarterback, or a roster that is beyond anything normal. So if you know going in, we have a pretty good quarterback and hopefully an average coach, maybe a pretty good coach. I don't think there's any way in HE double hockey sticks he turned this down, by the way, at age 51.
I don't think
chance
so
to be a head coach.
No, not at all.
But if you can't have the coach and quarterback combination, then you have to build a roster that's so good yeah. that Nick Sirianni and Kellen Moore can win with it. And I think we're probably a ways off from that. You know, you need two tackles right now. Neither Guyton or Steele has proven that they can be the kind of player that you would need. Now you need a right guard. Is your center, is Cooper Beebe going to be an answer? Like, the one guy that is on the Eagles level as a group is Tyler Smith now.
Yeah.
You know, so I just think you're so far away from it. And we've seen teams with average personnel with the offensive line be able to create great running games, which is where we go here. Hopefully NFL's divisional playoff round taught Cowboys Jerry Jones this important lesson. We go to the USA Today. And I'd love to hear from you guys. What is it that you would hope the light bulb would come on for? But check this out. Josh Allen wins the day throwing 427 yards. Jalen Hurts, 128 yards. Patrick Mahomes, 177 yards. Mm-hmm. Those are your winning quarterbacks. You know, so the idea that we have to win while passing the ball or making chunk plays, I think, is a general truth. But the pendulum has swung so far to speedy defenses and guys that can cover that now a bludgeoning running game is put three of the four teams in conference championship weekend. And that's where I come back to, what could Brian Schottenheimer tell Jerry Jones today? Guys, we're increasing the level of difficulty on Dak when the opportunity is to run. How many more games could we have run if it was Rico Dowdle instead of Zeke? How many more games could we have won if we push Rico Dowdle over 20 carries instead of like 11 or 12?
First thing Brian Schottenheimer needs to say then is we need to draft Ashton Jeanty, is what he needs to do. Because what Ashton Jeanty could do is all those holes that you talk about with the offensive line, there's nobody in the country that's made more people miss tackles than Ashton Jeanty. So while you're building your offensive line, you have a back that makes a bad offensive line better.
Yeah.
When it comes to missed tackles, run, yards after contact, all those metrics that people like to talk about. So go out, yeah, you could go out and take a chance on in an offensive line group this year draft that probably isn't as stellar as what we've seen in the past. The one thing you could do to run the ball is have a better back to do it.
Absolutely.
And yeah. If you get somebody that while you're building offensive line, Ashton Jeanty the first year, boy, you know, potential rookie of the year. Second year, oh, wait, we've added another offensive lineman here. Oh, wait, we freed up some free agent money. Oh, wait, we've developed another guy. Let's plug him in. As you're building this offensive line, Ashton Jeanty is kind of growing with the line and helping you build the line. By the time you get the line built, you could get rid of Ashton Jeanty. If you want to, you know, but that's how you kind of, I would focus that way. I would get the guy that gives me the best chance to run the ball with not the best offensive line.
Yeah.
Give me somebody that, I don't need to take a lesser back if I have a bad offensive line.
Jeanty, a good red zone back.
Yeah. He's got a nose for that. There's a lot of really good backs in this draft. And there's a lot of really good backs in this draft that need another partner to run with.
Okay, so I would counter with, let's get a good offensive lineman at 12 and get a good running back at 44. I don't think you're getting a good offensive lineman that you can plug and play at 44.
See, that's what I'm saying. We talked about plug and play last year, two guys.
Yeah.
And one of the left tackle got replaced during the year. Plug and play for these guys used to be a staple.
Yeah, but 27 is as close to 44 as it is to 12. I mean, that is a long gap, and I don't think you're getting quality offensive linemen in late first round or second round.
In this draft, there might not be as many quality offensive linemen as we've seen in the past. So to me, I'm trying to. If you want me to draft a good offensive lineman and a good back, when I could draft a great back and maybe a good lineman. To me, the back makes as much a difference.
We want to get it done. I'm good.
I know, but Philadelphia has got a great offensive line, and they got a back that's finally healthy.
Yeah.
You know, these teams.
Well, you can go 80 yards to the house.
Yeah, Washington doesn't have a great offensive line, but they've got two backs, you know, in Robinson and Eckler and those guys that can make plays.
And a quarterback now running in an unsustainable fashion.
Bingo.
I mean, it's not a regular season game plan, but once you get to the postseason, if you have a quarterback like that, and listen, it's no disrespect to Dak. I think people would look at this and be like, wow, man, I can't believe you don't think Dak can have a prolific passing game and take you to the playoffs. Mm-hmm. That's up for debate. Mm-hmm. I'm just asking that, you know, that you acknowledge that really no quarterback did it other than Jaden Daniels, you know, who was gifted, you know, the fact that Detroit decided to pass it way too much and you got four takeaways. Okay, the Vikings and Kevin O'Connell agreed on a multi-year contract extension. unusual chapter with, you know, so much success and him, you know, not under contract, but terms not immediately available. But that's a no-brainer to keep Kevin O'Connell. I mean, Peyton Manning said that's the coach that he would most like to play for in today's game.
Yeah, I tell you what, if you tell me you could take Sam Darnold, he made Sam Darnold more, you know, $10 million with Sam Darnold's contract this year for 1 year. Sam Darnold is now probably, what, $15, $20, $25 million more than that now? Somebody will pay him that.
Oh, yeah.
Or
yeah,
maybe he gets tagged and all of a sudden, hit. Yeah, yeah.
I think he's worth somewhere in the neighborhood of $35, $40
million. There you go.
First time in history, not a lot of guarantee, maybe a year and a half guaranteed on that, kind of a prove it deal, but you got to pay for, you know, even top 20 quality. First time in history, the Big Ten ends with three schools in the top five, Oregon and Penn State being the other ones, Texas the only SEC school inside the top five, Notre Dame finishing in the top five as well. So the winds of change are blowing a bit, and Big Ten got the upper hand. This year, I do imagine the SEC is going to snap back, but you know, you got to figure out how to win in this landscape, in this environment with NIL and transfer portal being so big, and with Bama taking such a big step back. You know, I don't even know if they have the right coach.
And how about this though? Texas, you know, going into the Southeastern Conference, that's a big get. Oklahoma not having a great year, but look at what happened. Wait, what if USC? You know, we kind of talked about USC potentially getting into the Big Ten and having great things, but that didn't materialize at all. So really, you know, hats off to Texas for what they were able to do in their first year in the SEC.
The Dodgers signing Kirby Yates. So that's one less option for our Texas Rangers. And now it's really up to CY to figure out a way, I think, to trade for a reliever. I guess David Robertson is still out there.
Yeah, the names, you know, I was just kind of asking some my Major League Baseball buddies around the league. I'm saying, listen, with the loss of Yates, where are we going here? And they said Carlos Estevez, and then they've also, he's out there, and then David Robertson, who they had last year, is still out there. Those are free agents that my guys mentioned, but he says more likely they are, as you mentioned, going to have to make a trade.
Okay, it's a Dallas Stars game night hosting Carolina coming up here in about an hour and a half. Very good Hurricanes team. They are second in their division, 28-16-3 on the year. The Stars snapped a two-game losing streak on Sunday with a nice win over Detroit.
Yeah, I'm getting indications that the interviews are over. And nothing's happening tonight, so let's see what happens tomorrow with the text I just got.
Very good. Mavericks are kind of in a death spiral to 500. We've been tracking this as the injuries have piled up. They played one of their worst games of the year yesterday, but they're going to host the T-Wolves tomorrow night at 6:30. Then they'll visit the Thunder Thursday, host the Celtics on Saturday. Then they will get Washington, New Orleans, and Detroit next week. So those are going to be very important games. The All-Star break will begin on February 13th, so there is light at the end of the tunnel. But, man, Luka has done a really rough job overcoming this calf injury. UEFA Champions League drama in Spain. Barcelona was trying to stay undefeated so far in Europe. They came in 5-0-1, and they were down 2-0 in the first 2 minutes of the game to Benfica out of Portugal. Okay, the game ends up final 5-4 as Lewandowski scored twice on penalties in the 13th and 78th minute, Rafinha in the 64th and 96th minute, and Garcia with a tally in the 86th minute. Cabral with a red card late. It got crazy, but they end up guaranteeing a top 8 spot in the next round there of the Champions League. It's time now to go into the Pimp Cup, where Lucius Alexander has LA Live.
To be alive. All right, let's get into a Toxic Tuesday right after the Great Rick James. Bam!
All right, you squares. Time is smoked.
Fire up this funk and let's have a toe. It'll make you dance with some of everything. Everybody get high.
New Yorkers are nice people. We just don't want to acknowledge it. You can be nice, but then, you know, shut the f*** up about it. Where I live, there's a pizza shop like right outside the park. And I went in, I got a piece of margarita piece. I was like, let me get that slice. And he was like, one? And I was like, yeah. And he puts it in, and I look up, and the sign, it says cash only. And I pull out my wallet. I was like, oh, I don't have any cash. So I was like, my man, like, pull out, you know, like, take the slice back, I put it in the glass again. And this lady saw that, and she came up. She was like, oh, you don't have any money? I was like, no. She was like, okay, I got you. I'll take care of you. You want a slice of pizza? I got you a slice of pizza. I was like, oh. I was like, thank you. That's so sweet. Thank you. We're sitting there waiting. I go, so do you live in this neighborhood? She goes, mind your business. Okay, I'll just shut the f*** and eat my pizza and walk right into traffic. Thank you.
Yeah. Them New Yorkers, bro, they special people. Shout out to my mama's side of the family. They all like that. This is LA Live for Tuesday, January 21st, 2025. It is a Toxic Tuesday here at LA Live. And baby, let me tell you, it will be toxic today. Starting off with our own Bobby Belt for G-Bag of the Day.
Wow, what a performance.
Bobby was on one.
I love right at the end, you can hear where he gets happy that he finally successfully trolled somebody and didn't get too emotional his damn self.
Oh, Bobby was on one. Shout out to the Lady Tolos. Shout out to y'all out there. Ow. G-Bag of the Day, we do it every weekday on the Fan at 2:30. If you see anything floating out there, don't be afraid to hit me up at Lucky Lucius P on social media. Lucius Alexander on Facebook, which is, I seen a thing today, the most used social media, Facebook.
Really?
If it weren't for the Tolos, I wouldn't even use it. Yeah. Well, and some family, too. Old ones and family.
Man, people will be like, hey, I sent you a Facebook message a few weeks ago. And I'm like, oh.
I'll tell you, I think it's the best thing in the world for birthdays.
Yeah.
You know, that's how I can follow along. If, you know, it shows up in my calendar and I'm like, happy birthday. You know, reach out to somebody. And that's the best way to keep it organized, that's
right. Yeah. I called my friend lying about her birthday because I gave her a happy birthday. She's like, it's not my birthday.
Oh, really? So
like,
it doesn't.
Facebook says that.
Yeah. Isn't that your responsibility to put that in, though?
Yeah.
They track that, right?
Yeah, she probably lied, bro. Yeah, and you can follow us all if you find G-Bag Nation on Twitter. Our winner right here comes from the RJ and Choppy Show, Bobby Belt, and Sean going at it over Coach McCarthy during crosstalk.
By the way, Mike McCarthy is reporting that weather delays have prevented him from interviewing with the New Orleans Saints.
Mike McCarthy has a social media account?
I mean, he has several reporters that he feeds that information to that have since reported it this morning.
So what is the real report?
There's several reporters saying, hey, Mike McCarthy's definitely interested in, the Saints are definitely interested in, weather has gotten in the way. So,
but why do you have to be so childish and petty about it? No, I'm saying
and
now.
I'm telling you.
Why do you have to be like
there's
so bitchy
about it?
About
I'm just saying. It's great.
Like,
it's
he's gone. You won.
I assume it's Laura Oakman.
Why are you still just whiny and cheap about it?
What do you mean cheap?
You take nothing but cheap shots. Cheap. You already won. What are you being so petty about it
I'm
for?
I'm just saying. It's the report that's out there.
Like, just celebrate it and be comical and poised.
This is me celebrating
right now. No, you're being freaking petty and annoying about it.
I love it.
You want to get punched in the freaking face?
Sean had enough. Sean had enough.
Who you want to get punched in the face? Freaking face. Freaking peered, man.
Yeah.
That's good stuff right there. All right. LA Live 105.3 The Fan on a Toxic Tuesday. I promise you it will be toxic, and this is a toxic story.
Mm-hmm.
I say this with reverence. You guys heard of the bikini baristas? You guys seen a bikini baristas before?
Okay. No, have not.
I've heard about them.
You should know. There's a lot of them up there in Portland area.
Yeah, it works a couple of months a year where you can get off into a bikini.
You can
strut your stuff a little bit.
You're serving coffee in a bikini. People pull up. Usually dudes.
I used to.
It's in Landman too. There's one in Landman.
Oh, yes.
All the trucks were just backed up, ready for it.
Yeah. I just saw the first two episodes of Landman.
Good stuff.
Yeah, that's appreciated. And I used to have a bikini beer barn off of Military that I'd swing through on the way home.
Do they still have those here? We used to have those a lot.
Beer barn?
Yeah.
Gosh, they were a great invention there. You just pull up in there and hand your money and away you go.
Yeah, they're standing outside. They got their little suits on. You're like, I do want a beer. How'd you know? Yeah. Well. There was a man caught with his pants down at a bikini coffee shop.
Yeah.
On January 8th, 27-year-old Nautica Malone. That's a hell of a name, Nautica. Was captured exposing himself to a bikini beans coffee worker in Tempe, Arizona. Malone was pulling up to the drive-thru and he was approached by a bikini girl who noticed that the man was not wearing pants.
Oops.
This man was driving around in his car with no pants on. That's wild. That's wild stuff.
That's probably some weird fetish.
Yeah. And I think this is not like the first time for him. They were kind of used to this guy coming around with no pants on.
Okay.
Married man, by the way. Kids and all this other good stuff.
Sure they're proud.
man. Oh, my gosh. The employee went to the manager who caught Malone reportedly at the window naked from waist down. The manager pulled out her phone.
Oh.
And recorded this guy. Hold on, let me hear you. Yeah, she recorded this dude. Listen to this.
Hi, how are you? Good. Have you been here before?
Yeah.
Sir, you need to leave. Unacceptable. Unacceptable. Call 911.
He drove when he got on out of there.
He had a nice car.
He does motor. Have a nice car, yeah. He looked pretty shocked, too. He had a smile on his face until she started pulling out the phone and said unacceptable, and he was looking like, we can't do this?
Mm. Yeah, like, what's he expecting her to say?
Yeah.
Like, wow, very impressive. You want to come into the walk-in cooler?
Yeah.
Wow. What's your name,
stranger?
You got
your tool out, fam. Put your tool up, bro. What are you doing?
Some beans.
In the video, Malone is seen abruptly driving away from the manager that confronted him. Following the incident, here's the sad part, folks. The video captured by the manager was uploaded to social media, garnishing millions and millions of views. It went viral on January 11th. Remember, this happened on the 8th. It went viral on the 11th. Malone, seeing this, was getting tagged in, and people were talking to him about it, so he drove to Goodyear, Arizona, and did the Lord's work on himself.
Oh, yeah. I can see that shame.
He unalived himself.
Oh, man, that's too bad.
Yeah. Mossberg sandwich.
I thought you were going to say he sued the gal for putting his stuff on the internet.
There's the point of contention right there. Of course, this man is already in the wrong, pulling up with your pants off at this establishment, but the mother is saying you didn't have to post that online and cause that type of shame. You could have recorded him, and we could have went through the proper channels, but you posted it online. Do you think the family has a case?
No, I think they
really don't.
You commit a crime like that, you know, I do not see any of the fault falling on the true victim of this crime. Yeah. You know, he's obviously mentally unstable.
Had a lot going on. That probably was a tipping point right there.
Yep.
Whole lot of shame.
Yep.
Probably. But, you know, in the video, you can't see. You just see your face, which is enough.
Yeah.
And they're using his face, which is a real sad story. They're using his face like a cute girl posts a sexy photo.
Mm-hmm.
It's him pulling up in his car, looking over.
Oh, jeez.
Pants off, bro. Man, the internet is cold, bro.
Yeah.
God, the internet is cold.
Very clever.
You know what you're saying? So she doesn't have a case. It's okay to post that online as the manager.
Now, I'm saying if I was the judge, I would not be surprised, though, or if I was in charge of the laws, I would not be surprised if there's some sort of loophole that or you know, law that's been violated that a lawyer could exploit and, you know, get a lawsuit going and stuff like that. But I just think if you're victimizing people like that and then you can't handle the shame of what your own actions have brought upon you, you know, then there's no way if I was in charge of the laws that gal would be in any way liable.
Hella toxic, folks.
Yep.
Told you it's a toxic Tuesday. LA Live 105.3 The Fan. Now, let's go to Wu Klein. What the hell is going on? You take that extra day off and you just lose a pitch. What the hell?
Wu Klein Killer Bees.
Wu-Tang Clan rapper Method Man allegedly beat up his daughter's ex-boyfriend.
Oh, yeah. I saw this, dude. I think that is a flex and a half. Like, you're 55 whooping on some 25-year-old dude, and he's at a gym, right? He caught him at a gym. So this is a young guy in shape.
He caught him at a Crunch Fitness in Staten Island, which I think is cool that the Method Man is actually hanging out in Staten Island.
Yeah, that is
at a damn Crunch Fitness.
Yeah. Just keeping it real, you know, being the Method Man.
Now, this is from law enforcement. Yeah, washing them.
I wonder what dude did to his daughter.
Yeah, I was thinking about that as well, because it couldn't be just cheating. Because if it was cheating, you would talk to your daughter, hey, man, this is what happens out here.
It's kind of a dub for you. You're like, cool, daughter's single again. Maybe I get to go have lunch with her.
Yeah, he allegedly punched Patrick Sonoka, 28. He's 28 years old. Punched him in the face 7 times with a closed fist. I don't know who was counting, but Patrick was feeling them joints.
Probably had security footage, which I wouldn't mind seeing. Didn't know Method Man had hands like that.
Come on, bro. Now, this man has not dated Method Man's daughter for more than a decade.
Oh, no.
So Method Man probably warned him, hey, yo, it's on sight if I see you.
Wow.
Be safe out here. It's on sight, whatever you did.
Back in 2014. Like, I'll see you someday.
Yeah, I'll see you, bro.
Daddy, have you beaten that guy up yet?
Please. Fold him like laundry, Pops. M-E-T-H-O-D, man. The alleged victim reported that Method Man had brought the pain. They said that in quotes, too. to his face, and he was feeling dizzy and refused medical attention at the same, at the scene. Method Man denies the assault allegations and says he was not arrested. So what's I don't know who's telling the truth here, because this source says law enforcement sources told the New York Post. So I don't know.
That maybe, he was arrested?
That he wasn't.
Well, he was not arrested.
That he just beat up this guy that was dating his daughter once before, and the guy didn't want to press charges, and it was a wrap.
Yeah, maybe it was a situation where he was, like, being detained at the scene, you know, and somebody interpreted that as arrest.
I can see that.
But there wasn't an official arrest record, you know, after the guy said, no, it's fine.
Hold on. I
always wonder how I'd feel about that. Like, if you get beat up by somebody, if you were in the wrong, would you press charges for assault?
Nope.
No, you just let it go.
No, yeah, you just learn a lesson.
You take your beating and move on.
Yeah, go get your piece of steak put on you.
Yep.
Your eye. Yep.
Bag of frozen,
bag of ice.
Bag of frozen peas.
Yeah, that's it. It's over, bro. Speaking of Method Man, do you know who he raps with, his usual rap partner?
Redman!
Yeah. They made the movie How High?
Oh.
Yeah, well, his partner Redman says he's been fasting, getting all the toxins out of his life, toxic habits and whatnot. He's been fasting from smoking bud. That's okay. Redman's identity, by the way, too. That's his whole thing. Smoking a whole lot of bud. And he's not chasing women anymore.
Wow.
He's done with chasing the women.
It's not even Lent yet.
Come on, bro. My man said he's been celibate for 2.5 years.
Wow.
Shaking these toxic habits out of his life.
Gone full monk on us. Redman, we need a new record for the explanation how things are going.
Listen to him.
My girl and I broke up maybe 3-4 years ago. I was going through such a divorce that lasted 7 years.
Ugh.
I had so much on my plate, and I actually fasted 2.5 years. No no smoking.
Wow.
Straight 2.5 years. And it was the best thing I could have ever done in my life. And believe me, I wanted to. I was fighting it. I was fighting, I was sweating, I was in my house going crazy because I lived alone. I was constantly talking to myself, me and God, and we just back and forth. You would think that it was people living in my house, how much I was talking to myself.
You know how much panties you gotta be getting for you just be sweating and talking to yourself?
Yeah.
God, I don't wanna go outside today and chase the cat.
But I made it, and it cleared out so much distractions. Now my reception is more clear now, and because it was all feeding the flesh.
Yeah.
And that's basically how the world is turning now. We're feeding the flesh. We're feeding what's good for us, which is not maybe good for the soul and spirit.
Look at the growth on Redman right there.
Yeah.
Method Man not bragging about beating up the daughter's ex-boyfriends who probably deserved it. Great story. Then you got Redman right here saying, I'm getting all these toxins and toxic habits out of my life. I've been chasing so much that I had withdrawals.
Yeah.
I was sweating. Withdrawals, man. I had to throw away condoms and everything. anything that reminded me of it. I can't even buy bananas.
Yeah, I can't even watch TV. You know,
it,
temptations everywhere.
Everywhere.
Seeking the pleasures of the flesh. You know, the pleasure is different from the joy. You find the joy in the simpler things in life and being present. And it's cool that, you know, Redman can put a voice to that now.
And last one here. Remember that drunk Hooters girl?
They got pulled
in Florida
over?
They kept calling the cop daddy?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, her Instagram is banging, by the way.
She didn't realize her car was idling right next to her.
I didn't drive here.
Yeah. No, you didn't. Yeah, I hope she gets an OnlyFans or a Fansy or a Chatterbait or something.
Is that good?
Chatterbait?
Yeah, it's booming. Yeah. It's booming. Well, there was a Houston woman arrested for allegedly shoplifting nearly $200 worth of beauty supply products from Ulta. You girl go to Ulta?
Oh, yeah, it's a good place.
Oh, yeah.
It's a good place.
Try not to.
Yeah, you 100%.
It's high end.
Yeah. Yeah, it's cool. Sometimes she grabs me some cologne or something like that when I've been sitting in the car for too long. It's an hour and a half, girl. I'm sitting in this car, and I've seen everybody walk into TJ Maxx that's in Irving. Well, anyway, she got caught stealing this stuff from Ulta. She allegedly offered the deputy negotiation.
Yeah.
Yeah. And some cash.
Yeah.
How about that? So we was wondering how many times the women actually, you know, offer something to the police officer. Mm-hmm. How many women out there have maybe done it in their lives? Mm-hmm. There was another one the next week, Dawson. The very next week.
Yeah, I imagine it's happening every day of the year in every state here in these United States. You know, these gals, especially if you're guilty of something where they're going to take you into jail.
Yeah.
You know, they get desperate.
Yeah, $200 ain't that bad, right? I don't know. All right, my name is Lucius Alexander. I'll be black tomorrow, Lord willing, and the creek don't rise. Isn't there a certain amount of like a the value of something that you steal? Like if it's a certain amount, you're really not going to get hit hard.
Under $1,000 or something.
Candy bar.
Depends state to state.
Candy bar.
Yeah, I think in California it's a half mil.
All right.
You're good, man. Appreciate you, Lucius. There he goes. LA Live every night about 5:40 here in the G-Bag Nation. How about an NFL draft big board report and some college football conversation? We review all the pertinent topics for Cowboys team building as they interviewed Schottenheimer today. Nothing resulted. We'll stand by for breaking news in the morning. And then coming up at 6:20, I think you're going to like this. How much longer can the Eagles keep contending with this team-building strategy that sets them apart against everybody in the league? And do you want the Cowboys to copy it? It's coming up next here in the fifth and final hour. G-Bag Nation, fam.